Thanks for downloading the South Everett Foursquare podcast. This is Pastor Chris Pepler, and you've joined us for our Palm Sunday celebration. You can find us every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. at the Village on Casino Road, or visit us on our website, southeverett.org. Thanks again for downloading, and enjoy today's podcast.
Entering into Holy Week, as it's called, thinking about the procession of Christ into Jerusalem and towards the cross, and ultimately towards resurrection. And so here we recognize the triumphant entry when Jesus on a colt or a donkey rode into Jerusalem, and people laid down their palm branches, their coats, their other things to prepare a procession for him to enter, because the king had come, the Messiah had come. And I was reflecting on that and going back to the prophecy of that moment and thinking about it all, and recognizing so many of those people who in that moment worshipped him as Lord, praised him as supreme, called him Messiah, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Those who worshipped him and praised him still didn't yet quite have a full understanding of what his lordship and his kingdom would represent. They'd later be a little discouraged by his death, right? They'd be questioning why taxation and oppression continued. So how do you reconcile that the supreme king, the coming Messiah, had come, and yet taxation still exists and oppression still exists? It was a tough thing for them to reconcile that he came to free them from the yoke of slavery that was sin, not the Romans, right? But when we go back to Isaiah and we see the prophecy of the coming Messiah, we're reminded that he comes to bring people into a kingdom of light. And it calls to mind these words from Colossians that I'll start us with. In Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 11. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so that we will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. So this is an interesting thing. He has transferred us. This is present. This is now. Today, he has transferred us from darkness to light. But then why at the beginning do we need pray that we would have all the endurance and patience we need? A kingdom of light, we don't think we would need endurance and patience, right? So what is it that he is on the throne, that he is ruling and reigning, and that we have been transferred into a kingdom of light, and yet we have to have patience and endurance? I think the tension there in us reveals a little bit of a misconception we still have about the kingdom and about the king. And we aren't so far apart from those Israelites that struggle to understand why he died, or why they weren't free. So as we praise him this morning, as we recognize him as the king, as the Messiah, would we also let him work in our hearts and in our minds to help us understand what that means more, what his kingdom is, what his rule and reign in our lives looks like. Let's praise the Lord.
He's coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow. Break, broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. Open up the gates and break the floor that he bow before you now. Let the King of Glory enter in. We lay our lives down. We lay our expectations down. Our hopes and dreams, our wants. We take ourselves off that throne that you sit on. Be enthroned upon our praises, God. Be enthroned upon our minds and hearts and words. Who can stop? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can steal our peace? Who can steal our joy? Who can stop the Lord Stop the Lord. He's given us endurance. He's given us patience. He's given us joy. He's given us life everlasting. Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's warring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him.
Palm Sunday. The day that Jesus rode triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem to prepare to die for our sins, to prepare to be resurrected again. For hundreds and hundreds of years, the people of Israel had been waiting for the promised Messiah. And in fact, 400 years earlier, the prophet Malachi spoke, and then the people of Israel did not hear a thing from God for 400 years. But even 500 years before Jesus came, the prophet Zechariah in the Old Testament prophesied that of which he did not know, but this is what he saw and spoke from the Lord to the nation of Israel. Rejoice greatly! Rejoice, daughter Zion! Shout, daughter Jerusalem! See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious. And then this is the part that doesn't make sense, because when I think about righteous and victorious, if I were to paint a picture on a white piece of paper with markers, I would have drawn a different picture than what the Lord gave to Zechariah about what righteous and victorious looks like. If a king is coming into the city, what kind of animal would they be riding?
An elephant.
An elephant in some places, in some cultures in the Middle East. Yes. Or a great horse. Something of significant strength and intimidation. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly riding on a donkey. What? A donkey? Why a donkey? Lord, what are you on a colt? The foal of a donkey. What are you doing? That doesn't make sense in my imagination of what his kingdom would look like. But he saw it fit. And it was time for this Passover feast. Again, do you guys remember where the Passover feast started? Somewhere between Egypt and Mount Sinai. When the Israelites arrived at Mount Sinai 50 days after they left captivity, and the sea was opened up and they got out, they celebrated the Passover feast that the Lord would have passed over all the Israelites in Egypt. If the blood of the lamb was put on the doorframe, it would pass over and they were brought out. And then there was this feast, because we got to remember the good work that God does in our lives. It's so quick to forget the good things he's done. So this feast went on and on and on and on and on and on every year. This was the approximately 1,400th annual celebration of the Passover by the time it reached Jerusalem with Jesus on a donkey. They'd been celebrating for 1,400 years. Every year remembering, God delivered us from bondage. God delivered us from bondage. God delivered us from bondage. Every year. And now this moment, and the king rides in and confirms the prophecy given by Zechariah. It was time for the Passover feast again in Israel. They'd been celebrating and remembering 1,400 years. From the corners of the promised land and beyond, the Hebrew people came to celebrate deliverance. That's what they came to do. From all the corners they had come. And more than a remembrance of Israel's delivery from slavery in Egypt, this particular Passover would have eternal implications. It wasn't just so much remembering what the Lord did with goats and bulls and pigeons and things, but he would send an unblemished lamb in the form of his son, and everything would be made right for eternity. Eternal celebration, freedom from sin and death. That's what the Passover feast was about. If you throw up the next slide, I just want us to be thinking about this, children and adults alike, this week. That it's not just about Sunday and Sunday. It's about everything that happens in between. This is for the study nerds, okay? So like this is Holy Week. And the timeline, I will send this to you as well. You see, the orange is the disciples. The red line is Jesus, and so it shows the interactions between all the different people. There's a black line that goes through, which tells Judas's story. There's a blue line that goes through that talks about the story of the Jewish leaders throughout the whole week. And then there's a line that goes through that talks a little bit about John and Peter and a few others along the way. And I would encourage you this week to spend some time, and it has all the verses from all the scriptures from the end of all four Gospels. We're skipping ahead a little bit in our series, and we'll be coming all the way back to the Sermon on the Mount. But this week, to dig into the scriptures and the story of Jesus will make the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus so much more powerful. When we take time to stop and sit with him in his pain and to engage in the conflict that was taking place between him and the religious leaders, in the weeping in the garden, in the washing of the feet, because Jesus paid attention to feet. Can I read to you from one of my favorite childhood texts? I'm going to read a whole book. Can we do this?
Sure.
You familiar? This is a story that I loved for years and years and years, but it was written even 25 or 30 years before I was born. Does anyone know the author Theodore Geisel? You familiar with Theodore Geisel? Anybody? Who does? No idea who that is. Who has no idea who Theodore Geisel is? Anybody? Yeah, come on. Come on, right? So Theodore Geisel, this might give it away. He had a weird middle name. Theodore Geisel's middle name was Seuss. Theodore Seuss Geisel. Dr. Seuss wrote some books, didn't he? Some good ones? He wrote, well, that's a good one, but he wrote my favorite Dr. Seuss book is The Foot Book. Can we read an entire book as a part of this message? The message is entitled Jesus and the 24 feet. You ready for this? Here we go. Left foot, right. Feet in the morning, feet at night. Left foot, right. Wet foot, dry foot, low foot. Come on, low foot.
High foot.
Thank you. Front feet, back feet, red feet, black feet. Left foot, right foot, feet. Now listen to this. When you think about Jesus in Jerusalem, how many feet you meet? Slow feet, quick feet, trick feet, sick feet. Up feet, down feet, here come
down feet.
Very good. Small feet, big feet, here come
big feet.
His feet, her feet,
Fuzzy fur feet. Anyone got fuzzy fur feet? You won't know, don't want to admit it. So guys, listen up. In the house and on the street, how many men? Oh, Jesus. Was he in the house? Was he on the street? Was he meeting feet? In the house and on the street, how many many?
Feet.
Up in the air feet. Over the chair feet. More and more feet. 24 feet. Here come more and more and more feet. Left foot, right foot. Feet, feet, feet. How many, many feet you meet? Clown feet, pig feet, fuzzy fur feet. At one point in the story, 24 feet. And I started thinking about Jesus and the 24 feet that gathered in the upper room the night before Jesus went to the cross. We just talked about a 56-year-old story. I want to tell you about a story from 1,990 years ago, approximately, from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And I want to read just the first verse to begin with of John 13, verse 1. It says, "It was just before the Passover feast." Just before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were with him, he loved them to the very end. We know from some other gospel accounts that earlier in that day, Jesus had sent a few of the disciples out into the city to find a man with 2 feet. It doesn't say that, but he did. He had 2 feet. To go find a man, and this is what we know about the man. He was carrying a big jug of water. And so Jesus said to the disciples, go into the city and find a man carrying a big jug of water. And when they found him, they were told to go back to the house where he was going and to talk to the owner of the house and invite themselves over for dinner. So just imagine Jesus is doing this today, right? Here's the deal, guys. I want you to go into North Everett. I want you to find a guy carrying some water. I want you to follow him to where he's going. And then I want you to talk to the owner of the house and invite yourselves over for dinner. Following Jesus wasn't always straightforward. It's still not straightforward. Does anyone have questions about the things that God asks you to do sometimes? No. Zach? Questions about that sometimes? Yeah, me too. This is gospel. This is in the account. And so what happened? Well, I would surmise to say that an incredible act of faith happened because they did it. Like, I think I might pass on that one. I might just pass that up as a weird idea, but they heard Jesus say it. And because they heard him say it, they did it. This incredible act of faith. But we also know that in every good story, there is conflict. You ever watched a good movie with no conflict in it?
No.
If you did, it was a bad movie. Every good movie, every good story has conflict in it. And we know from another gospel account that there was some conflict in the air with these 12 disciples and their 24 feet. Because we know the gospels told us that just previous to that, after they found out that Jesus was going to give his life or was going somewhere, do you know what fear produces in us sometimes? Insecurity. You know what happens when we get insecure? We puff ourselves up to try and be better than other people. So if you're afraid and insecure, sometimes you puff yourself up, right, Matt? Just, you know, don't come after me. So the disciples are just kind of like puffing themselves up around this conversation. They find the house, they invite themselves over for dinner, they get the room reserved, and then all the disciples and their 24 feet are following Jesus and his 2 feet, and they're going over for dinner. Do you know anything about the roads in Palestine in the first century? Very dirty, made of dirt, not asphalt. Do you know anything about shoes?
Sandals.
Open-toed sandals in the dirt. There was a job in the houses of people who could afford it was to sit a servant at the front door, and when any feet would pass through, they would wash the feet. Well, I don't know if dude was sick that day or what happened, why he didn't show up for work. But no one was there to wash the feet of the people coming through the door. Nobody. So everyone's going to walk into this house with dirty feet. Why aren't they washing each other's feet? Because they're afraid, they're insecure, and to get down and to wash the feet of a friend is a humble position. And what it's saying is, I'm taking up a position lower than you, and I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to do something for you. And when you're feeling puffed up, you ain't doing that, right? You are not doing that. Think about a fight that you've been in with a friend or a sibling. That doesn't happen though, right? You're already grinning. Jackson, how much do you feel like serving your siblings when you're kind of at odds with each other?
Never.
Never. 2,000 years, nothing's changed. So they all go upstairs with dirty feet. It is awkward. Because the elephant's in the room, nobody's talking about it. But everybody's feet are dirty, and that's not okay. Verse 2 in John 13, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. There was a hit on Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Verse 4, so he got up from the meal, because he knew all things had been given to him. He got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Am I a part of this? The curiosity of a disciple. Jesus said, you do not realize what I'm doing now, but later you're going to understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Who has a hard time being served sometimes? Somebody wants to do something for you? No, I got it. Somebody wants to buy you a meal? No, I got it. To be served is to humble ourselves. I would come to suggest that this position right here is easier than the position that Matt is sitting in sometimes. To have somebody remove your shoes and your socks and wash your feet. Your fuzzy fur feet, your pig feet, your clown feet, whatever your feet are like. That takes humility. Jesus was modeling humility of his kingdom. He goes, now you're going to wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet and my hands, but my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only wash their feet. Their whole body is clean and you are clean. Though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him. And that's why he said, not every one of you is clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and Savior, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you do these things, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I want to spend a few minutes in just telling you about some of the favorite feet that I've met in my life. The feet I meet. And I want you to start thinking about the feet that you meet. Because the more feet we meet, the more stories we have of God's grace and his goodness in our lives. I'm going to show you a picture of my friend Scooter. Scott Soule. Scott Soule came to the Pacific Northwest in 2010. He was homeless. He was addicted. He had no shoes. He had a pair of socks on a snowy day with cardboard duct taped around his socks to act as shoes when he arrived in Pioneer Square in 2010. He entered into the recovery program with Seattle's Union Gospel Mission. The interesting thing about doing drugs is it kind of messes up our minds and it messes up our relationships. But when we stop doing drugs, that stuff starts coming back to us a lot of our time. We get our mind back. We get our friendships back. And so over the course of 6 months or 9 months or a year, Scooter, Scott Soule, started getting his life back together. And before he was lost in his addiction, he was an endurance athlete. And so Scooter started thinking, wow, I got to the mission, they took care of my feet. They put some shoes on my feet. When they met my feet, they took care of my feet. So he's an endurance athlete, a runner, a cyclist. So he starts cycling around the city of Seattle. You know those little bike trailers for the kids?
Yeah.
He took one of those apart. So it had the wheel and the base and the hookup and everything. But then he put this big cardboard box, like this tall cardboard box around it and duct taped that on. So he's duct taping new things, right? He starts driving and riding his bike up and down the hills in Seattle and all over the place collecting shoes from any place where he could find shoes to give to the mission so other people could have shoes. We started growing in relationship with Scooter, and we wanted Scooter to come to Eastside Foursquare Church, where I was serving as the outreach pastor at the time, and just tell this amazing story about how the Lord saved his life when someone took care of the feet that they met, the fuzzy fur feet that Scooter was walking around with, the duct taped feet, with the cardboard. And so he comes, we plan for him to come to Eastside to tell us the story. What we couldn't have planned for was 8 inches of snow on the ground when he was coming to tell that story. Because the thing we didn't tell the church before they showed up was that they were going to have an opportunity, not an obligation, but an opportunity to give away the shoes that were on their feet. Not just the shoes that you get out of the garage when you're done wearing them, but giving your best shoes. Your Sunday shoes. 8 inches of snow on the ground. I'm like, man, this thing's done. No one's giving their shoes away. That morning, 400 people gave their shoes away. And half of them gave their socks. And they walked to the car with their frozen feet and never forgot the moment. Yeah, there's us giving our shoes away. This is back in the day when a bunch of us from Eastside would go down and like move into Seattle's Union Gospel Mission for 5 days at a time and live on the recovery floors and just build relationships with guys in recovery. The thing I love about that picture is you would be very challenged to figure out which guys had businesses and which ones lived in a homeless shelter by looking at that picture. That's about half and half. You figure it out. Right? Common poverty is our, not about our socioeconomics or addictions. It's about our need for the grace of Jesus. That's the picture of a great outcome because my friend Dean is in that picture. And Dean, I didn't know Dean until he came to me the day after the shoe giveaway thingy. And we got together for lunch and he said, I did not give my shoes away yesterday. And I'm like, that's just fine. Nobody asked you to. Nobody told you to. They just invited you to. He goes, you know what? I have a business. I employ people. I've never cleaned my own house. I've never cleaned, you know, washed my own car, done my own dry cleaning, shined my own shoes. I pay people to do that. I said, that is just fine. He goes, it's not enough for me. I have to get my hands in the mix. I gotta, what can you do for me? Like, silly question. So we moved him into a recovery shelter for a week. And while we're down there, people say, well, what do you do when you live there? And we hang out with people. We build relationships with people. We go to coffee, go to baseball games, we take ferry rides with people who are dealing with addiction recovery because people are people and we all need Jesus. And only one time, we did this trip 18 times over 9 years, every 6 months. And we did one here with South Everett right before COVID shut the world down. If you want to sign up for this trip, let me know because it's a good trip. We might do it again. John Fleming was there. Yes. Zach was there. Anyone else in this room on that trip? Todd was there. High five. TN was there.
Yep.
We've done this.
Norby's
on the next one. I just signed him up. So Scooter's gathering all these shoes, 100 pairs, 1,000 pairs, 10,000 pairs. All these shoes are coming in. It's great. It's awesome. Dean's having a crisis moment because he's realizing it's not enough. We take him to the shelter for the week. We only did this once in the 18 times we did this plunge. We always gather in the morning on the sixth floor of the mission and do something. That morning, for whatever reason, we did a foot washing. And I didn't even put it all together yet. But this started with Scooter and his story and Dean and his story. And we're up there after 5 days in the mission, 20 minutes before this picture was taken, on the sixth floor of the upper room of the mission. Robert had been homeless for 20 years, had joined the mission, was a part of our recovery group. He's this guy right here. Robert has since gone home to be with Jesus, but he's been a guest in my house. He reestablished relationship and housing before he died, and he had purpose in his life. Robert, homeless for more than 20 years, is sitting to the left of Dean. And Dean, the business owner, is sitting right here. And we're washing feet from the right to the left. And I just see this thing coming. The guy that needed to get his hands in it gets down when it's his turn to wash Robert's feet. Literally wash his feet. And the room is deadpan silent, except Dean is weeping like snot. Fast, just, you know, when you're really having a good cry. And he is washing his feet. At the end of the time, Dean, a week later, so would surmise that he didn't know that he needed a friend like Robert. And he and Robert and all of us were friends until Robert passed away a couple years ago. In the house and on the street, how many, many feet you meet. Jesus met these 24 feet and even washed the feet of the one who betrayed and some help. So, Holy Week. You know some feet in your life? You got your own feet, but what about other feet? Whose feet can we notice this week? As we prepare this week to care about some feet, I want to give you the same opportunity we gave the church with Eastside. Again, no obligation whatsoever. But if you would like to leave your shoes this morning for Ever Gospel Mission, we'll take all the shoes that are left here today, including the ones on my feet that squeak a lot on this floor. And these are actually my favorite shoes. It's my favorite shoes right now. And I'm just going to leave these shoes up here, and no one's going to ask you otherwise, and no one's going to look weird at you if you want to keep your shoes on your feet and walk out of here. But if you want to leave your shoes this morning as a way to remember the feet that you meet this week and whose feet you can wash in the name of Jesus, the week that Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, you can leave your shoes up there, and we'll collect them, and we'll take them to Ever Gospel Mission. Sound all right? All right, we've talked about the feet. Now we're going to eat. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for this community. Thank you for all the food. Thank you for the fellowship. God, thank you that you have washed our feet, that we might wash the feet of another. God, you are good and right and glorious and perfect. God, we worship you this week. Do something incredible in our hearts and our spirit. May we align with your spirit. God, and as we celebrate your death and resurrection, God, may it be sweet. May it be transformative. May you do something new in us and through us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
If you can stay for the feast, stay for the feast, because it's a feast of a remembrance of deliverance and salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.